Historical echoes of wrongs committed against African Americans can be heard in the stadiums of college sports, particularly football. Long after pro leagues began to integrate, the college game consisted of parallel schools, all black and all white, until a performance in 1967 changed everything forever. It all took place between the colleges of Florida A&M and at the historically black college Grambling, which is in the headlines this week for a boycott over state funding cuts that discriminated against black college students. The students have since ended their boycott after a motivational call from their fired head coach earlier this week. But it is an older story and two other coaches that have all set the stage for the transformation that took place back in 1967. Samuel Friedman is the author of the new book, Breaking the Line, The Season in Black College Football That Transformed the Sport and Changed the Course of Civil Rights.
The two coaches are Eddie Robinson at Grambling College, which is in northern Louisiana, and Jake Gaither at Florida A&M, which is in Tallahassee. Eddie Robinson is someone who probably a lot of football fans still know because he coached into the mid-90s, and he's still the all-time winningest coach in college football. Jake Gaither less so, but they're both exceptional coaches on the field, produced scorers, and in Grambling's case, better than 100 pro players. But they also were people who struggled to find a way through football to contribute something to the movement while at the same time being constrained by both the fear of physical attack because they'd grown up in an era of rampant lynchings and also constrained by the fact that the state held the purse strings on their schools. And if you stuck out, if you took a stand on civil rights, you might get fired, your students might get expelled. So what they struggled to do and eventually were able to come through on in 1967 was to do something through football to really advance the movement. In Eddie Robinson's case, he develops the first black quarterback for the NFL, James Harris. And that's significant way beyond football because the attitude about a black quarterback went at all these canards of white supremacy, that a black couldn't be smart enough, that a black couldn't be a leader, that a black couldn't really be courageous, that whites wouldn't take orders from a black. So to create that black quarterback, as he successfully did, was to really strike a number of blows against white supremacy. And in Jake Gaither's case, he was very adroitly going behind the scenes of the political class in the state of Florida to get approval to play the first black college versus white college football game in the South. And the significance of that, beyond what it means on the field, that the black team, his team, did win, is that that game becomes the largest act of desegregation of a public facility in the history of the South. A football game is the biggest mass act of desegregation since emancipation.
Did the people of Florida see that coming, and then the people of America who observed something that had happened really out of the blue?
Yes and no. I think in the South, this was followed very, very closely, that Florida A&M versus Tampa game. Nationally, less so, because it was such a different media climate at that time. No ESPN, no ubiquitous sports radio, and the white newspapers didn't cover the black colleges, even in their own backyard. So one of the great black coaches once said that black college football was played, quote, behind God's back. And so that meant that some of the effects weren't felt in the North as instantly as they were in the South. But in the South, this was a bolt of lightning.
What must it have been like to have been at that Florida game?
I've talked to people who were at it. In fact, in my book, I write about, at that point, 12-year-old white kid who goes with his father almost on a lark and realize in the middle of it that they're part of this history. Many people in the South and around the South who weren't going to take a bold stand on civil rights alone, but if they felt that they had a kind of a social permission to do it, a societal okay, their better angels were going to come out. And I think people like that took solace from this game. I'll tell you one more story, which is Jake Gaither is leaving the stadium after the game, triumphant, and he and his wife were walking to the team bus, and there were a group of white men coming in their direction. And his wife immediately says, let's change direction. She can only see in this group of men all the whites who've, you know, said terrible things or done terrible physical things to black people over the decades they've been alive. And as this group of white men get closer, they're from, I think, the Tampa Booster Club, and they go to shake Jake Gaither's hand.
Wow. Remind us of the values that these two coaches tried to instill in the students, because in many ways, education by itself was a huge escape from the poverty and the oppression of the 20th century. But these two men also felt that football had a role to play.
Jake Gaither and Eddie Robinson, first of all, were terrifically well-educated men themselves. In a different era, they would have been senators, CEOs, trial lawyers, you know, you name it. And they saw the football scholarship as a way to make higher ed available to these young men they coached. And when the players got to Grambling and to Florida A&M, these coaches tracked their class attendance, tracked their grades, made sure they went to church, you know, taught them table manners if necessary. It sounds condescending, but these were young men, especially at Grambling, who'd come out of sharecropping families, who'd had no exposure to a wider world at all. And Eddie Robinson and Jake Gaither wanted every one of their players to graduate and everyone to go out and be a walking, talking advertisement for black equality, for black dignity.
The NFL could really use those values in the college programs of today.
Even more than the NFL could use them, the major colleges could use them. You know, what was so powerful and poignant and generous of Eddie Robinson and Jake Gaither, selfless, is that they knew as they were pushing for the desegregation of college football in the South, they're going to lose the top players they used to get, that the big football factories, Alabama, Ole Miss, LSU, would now skim the very best black players from the South, which has happened. And their fear, and sadly it's been realized, is that at those big football factories, their players wouldn't be cared for the same way. They wouldn't be looked at as whole human beings who were there to get an education. And across the board, those major colleges have not risen to the level that Jake Gaither and Eddie Robinson set.
The biggest irony of all is perhaps in the case of Grambling, we're back to where we were decades ago, where that school right now in the headlines is fighting for equality in higher education in the state of Louisiana.
It's exactly right, John. In 1967, as I write in Breaking the Line, student protesters at Grambling used the homecoming football game as their kind of stage to protest against the racial inequalities in higher ed funding in Louisiana. And just in the past week and a half, we've had the Grambling football team boycott a game against Jackson State and get a lot of national coverage. The coverage has been, in some cases, too narrow. It's looked at it as if it's just a football issue, that their coach had been fired, that they've complaints about the quality of their facilities, that they've had to take incredibly long 1,500-mile road trips to games in buses. But what's underneath it is that that's the athletic aspect of budget cuts through the state of Louisiana that have devastated particularly a historically black school like Grambling that doesn't have a big endowment, doesn't have wealthy alumni, doesn't have all this political influence, and has been cutting faculty positions and cutting degree programs. And if these players at Grambling have brought attention to that, then they've had the ultimate championship season this year, no matter what their record is.
Well, a remarkable story that is as relevant today as it was in 1967. Samuel Friedman, Columbia journalism professor, author of Breaking the Line, the season in black college football that transformed the sport and changed the course of civil rights. Thanks as always.
Thank you, John. A real honor.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.